today I'm going to break down my most recent launch for you. And I had not even planned to do this launch as a podcast episode. Like, I don't plan to give you a breakdown of every single launch unless people really love those and start asking for those. So I hadn't really planned on doing this one. However, it is one of my biggest launch, I guess you would call it, failures in a long time. And I thought I would go ahead and record it because I want to record it for you in real time. This launch just ended yesterday at the time of recording. And so I want you to get a sense of what it's like in real time, because we are all going to have flops and failures. And I want to go ahead and share this one with you now. Have you ever wondered what it's really like behind the scenes of a multi-7-figure business? We're talking real deal, unfiltered, non-sugar-coated version. And you'd rather learn from somebody who has sold direct to consumers rather than making all their money telling other people how to do exactly what they did. Well, you're in the right place. I'm Laura, your host of Get Profitable HQ. If I can do this, starting my business as the shyest person I know and running it today with two small kids, hobbies, travel, a chronic illness, and actually a life, then I know anyone can grow a successful business. Tune in each week for value-packed content to help you feel less alone in your journey to grow your business and for practical strategies to help you get to the next level, whether that be to quickly grow revenue and profit or grow slowly and be more efficient and spend less time in your business. Another thing that's slightly different about this episode is as I'm doing this, I'm looking at my screen for a lot of the statistics and data. Now, you'll still be able to follow along even if you can't see the screen, but I'm doing something special for my Profit Posse members. You can go around this link if you're interested in the Profit Posse. It's very affordable right now. And for you all, I am actually recording video of my screen as I'm doing this episode. So if you guys want to follow along where you can actually see the numbers on the screen, probably see a few more numbers than I share here, then go ahead. And this video, by the time this podcast goes out, will be in the membership for you. And if you're not currently a member, please consider joining. Like I said, super affordable, super fun. I would love to have you. And of course, if you have any questions, you can always email me hello@getprofitablehq.com and I'd be happy to answer for you. And I feel like I have one more caveat here that I really want you to understand. Sometimes I hesitate to call things flops because when I tell you the revenue that this launch generated, some of you are going to be like, well, I didn't even generate that revenue the entire last year or something like that. Here's the deal. It's all relative. So yes, this amount of sales would have been excellent my first 3 or 4 years in business. But now that I have built up an entire team and we have pretty serious operating expenses. So just to make payroll and pay all of the bills for like my software, my email service provider, and just all the bajillion softwares we use, we're in the neighborhood of somewhere around $50,000 every month. And so that's why it's necessary to have these kinds of results. And also because I'm able to do so much more because I have a full team than I would if it was just me. So you kind of have to adjust the numbers accordingly. All right, I'm going to go ahead and just give you the basics of the launch. So this product is called the Paperless System. It's one of my own personal favorite products, which I also think is one of the reasons I'm annoyed that it didn't do as well as I'd hoped, because I love it. It's about basically how to tackle all your paper clutter in your home and how I've gone what I call not paperless, but paperless, meaning it's not all or nothing. Like, I've got some things digital and some things physical, and I kind of teach people how to do that. I love this system. It's also a tiered offer. So last year in 2023, we did the same launch in March of last year. So we're really comparing apples and apples as much as you can here. Last year, it was a tiered offer with an ebook and a course. You know, the ebook is cheaper, the course is more expensive. Same thing this year. The only change we made is last year, the ebook was $49 and the course was $97. This year, the ebook was $29 and the course was $84. The reason for that is that our best product ever that has done amazing on ads, our best product on ads, and really even when we sell it to our list, is our binder, and it's structured that way. So when we do the paperless system on ads, I like to kind of model after that with the $29.84 price point. And that $29 price point, I think, is really important for ads to be able to get your money back. And I thought we're going to run ads to this particular launch. I didn't want it to be different prices. Like, that's not really fair if the ads are cheaper than what I'm offering my list. And before that reason, I changed the price this time. That ended up being a bit of a mistake, I think, because A, we're not comparing quite as much apples and apples. B, I think we could have made more money if we had kept it at the $49.97 instead of the $29.84. And C, because of my surgery that's recent that I'm still healing from, and, you know, being kind of out of commission then and just all the things that were going on, I wasn't able to get the ads up. So we didn't actually run them. I am working on adding another team member to make this easier. I'd hoped to have someone to help me load them, but that person just didn't respond to me. And so, like, yeah, didn't get them done. So it was kind of silly that we ended up changing it at that price, but it is what it is. The other thing to note is last year, this spanned 7 days. So it was a more of a what I call proper launch, where it spanned many days. We told them it was coming. There was a little bit more hype, which in retrospect, maybe we should have done that. This year was only 4 days. The only reason for that choice is that we're trying to squeeze in another launch and our launches are coming too close together. And so I just didn't want to give too many what I call proper launches, meaning at least 6 or 7 days of emails with like some runway, some like hype building beforehand. There's only so much of that I think the audience can take, and we can't like overwhelm them with hard sales and pressure launches. So that's the only reason why I shortened it. You know, in retrospect, I think I might try to spread out our launches a little bit more next year, but it is what it is. So in 2023, last year, here is our total results. We ended up selling about $67,000 in total revenue that came in from the launch. So this year, I set my not a flop goal at $60,000, thinking, okay, we're going to sell some less because it's not quite a proper launch, but we have more warm people to sell it to. So hopefully that'll make up something. And so at $60,000, it's not a flop. We're not even going to talk about the better and best goals because we were nowhere in that neighborhood. Also, last year, we sold a total of 619 core units. So we sold 226 ebooks at $49 and 393 courses at $97. And we also had an order bump and an upsell. The order bump was $19. The upsell was $97. The order bump and upsell were exactly the same this year as well. So that's what we're going into the launch hoping for, expecting. Here's how this year's launch actually did. Instead of the $60,000 goal, it generated $22,864 in revenue. So about $23,000 in revenue. We sold 302 units, 155 ebooks at $29, and 147 courses at $84. So there's the deal. So we just wildly underperformed my expectations. And I'm going to get into some of the details and how the sales came in and what I think that means. I will also note that our total buy rate, that means we sent this out to about 148,000 warm subscribers and 0.2% of those bought. So that's 1/5 of the percent. We have seen launches as high as closer to 1%. So the 0.2 is not fantastic. It's acceptable. And the number of dollars generated per warm subscriber. So for every one of those 148,000 subscribers on this launch, we generated 15 cents. Also, again, we've had some closer to 50 cents to a dollar. But I will tell you, our numbers are never huge. Like, again, I sell low ticket products and we have a broad audience and a broad range of things. So I have seen people like launches out there, especially launch breakdowns from B2B businesses who sell higher ticket and they're like, we made $112 per subscriber. No. I'm never doing that. Like, that's just not how this particular thing works. So those are the facts. We have to look at those pretty objectively. And then we need to ask ourselves, what do the facts mean? So I'm going to talk about some possible reasons why I think this launch didn't do as well. And then I'm going to circle back around to some deeper dives into some statistics that I looked at that give me even more answers to questions that we actually do have. Oh, and by the way, in 2023, it was sent to 143,000. So similar, but a little bit more this year. In thinking about it, what are some of the possible reasons why it might not have done as well? One might be like, is the product still relevant? But in this case, with the paper clutter situation, and I know that that is a pain point for my audience, they still need help with that. I don't think it has anything to do with that. Also, you know, we have really refined that sales page, the copy. I think it's pretty good. It's one of our better ones. It's performed really well in the past. Also, the on-page conversion rate was excellent at above 5%, which is excellent for me, and really probably better than that because that's not users, that's total clicks. So many people were visiting multiple times. So that was pretty solid. So I don't think it was anything to do with the product. I don't think it was the price of the product because last year it was more expensive and it did well. So I don't think it's like people weren't buying because of that per se. But here's some other things. Some people might think, well, it's the economy. Like people are struggling. inflation. They're not able to spend as much. They're watching their purchases more carefully. And maybe that's why. And it could be. I have no way of really knowing or proving that, or how would I know? It could be. However, this is our first really bad launch. In March of 23, we launched in February, we launched in January, we launched last November, last October, last September, and all of those went better than ever. So I find it a little surprising that like now would be the time. I mean, this has been happening for a while. Maybe that's a small factor. The other thing is, just to be really, really honest, is that I don't like the answer. Like, if the answer is it's the economy, well, what am I going to do about that? I can't, quote unquote, fix the economy or fix inflation or whatever. So there's not as much I can do about that. I mean, I think you can still try to sell creatively and all that stuff, but there's not really a ton I can do about that per se. And I just don't think that this one poor launch is evidence that, like, I should go panic because people are now going to buy a third of what they bought before because of, you know, economic factors. So, okay, but that is a theory. Theory number two, and this one is a little bit more possible, but still not the one that I think that it is. We're selling too much now. So I think there is always a point at which you can sell too much and you won't know until you hit it. And like I said, we squeezed in one more launch, which I now kind of regret. And we kind of took another launch later off the calendar to space them out a little bit more. So we had a launch around Valentine's Day, just like we did the year before, Fall Back in Love with Your Home Sale, a really fun one where there was a different product on sale every day. I have a podcast episode on that one if you're interested. And then it was only like 3 weeks before this launch. So I think it just didn't have as much breathing room. We also didn't have a runway to like start talking about it in advance as much as I might like. So there was not quite as much hype surrounding it, even though it was a true live launch. So it's really just one additional launch. I don't think necessarily that's going to, you know, move the needle hugely. But in addition to that, we started last November offering something for sale in every email. And I think I've talked about this on the podcast before. But basically, we were sending a Wednesday and Saturday. These are content emails, just pure content offering value, things people like. And we added a section in the Wednesday called Wednesday's Featured Product. And literally, it's just one section. There's a value section, a little blurb about a featured product that you could buy from our shop, and then another value section. By the way, we sell very little. Often we'll sell $0 from that. And I could do a whole other episode on why we're still doing it and the whole strategy around that, but I'm not going to go there. So we have that. And then on Saturdays, we do a Saturday steal section. So there's value, a little blurb about the Saturday steal, which is a product that's featured and on sale, like that, hence the steal, you know, good price. And they're always low, low price products. Like it might be a $12 product on sale for $6 or $29 on sale for $14, you know, not a lot of money. And then another value section. So those, again, do not generate a lot of revenue, in the neighborhood of zero, more on average $300 and at most $1,300. So they're not huge revenue generators. So not a lot of people are buying, but I was like, maybe somehow the sale just doesn't seem quite as special because we're giving them so many opportunities to buy. And once a week, they're seeing something on sale, even though these core products, for me, these courses at 97, which are regularly 197. So they're discounted, of course, for the launch to like about half price or more. Those are not going in our Saturday sales. Those are like, it just wouldn't make a lot of sense. And it's not the kind of thing that somebody's going to shell out that much money, even if we put it on sale for $97. On a whim, I don't think. I mean, maybe we'll try it one day. But to date, we haven't put those in. But I still wonder if it's just making the sales in general not seem quite as special and not seem quite as compelling. Again, there's not a super fantastic way to gauge that per se. You know, I might experiment with taking away the Wednesday and the Saturday if it weren't for the third reason and what I really think that it is. My theory is that the more times we launch something, the more times people have seen it, the less likely they are to buy it, especially in this low ticket space. So when something is new, it goes like gangbusters and things just have, like, they start to dwindle. And there's not always like a great reason why. Offers just fatigue. It's like people just know that it's not new. I don't know how. Even the people that are new to your list that theoretically haven't seen it, somehow there's just a different vibe and offers just fatigue. And they fatigue at different rates. They fatigue in different ways. Some of them kind of start to gradually fall off. Some of them just drop off a cliff. And so I think there's a little bit of fatigue going on here. And also, it's been launched several times now. So it was launched properly last year, just a year ago. A year before that, it was launched. By the way, that one also did well above this one. So we are really underperforming. So this is its third proper launch. And this, you know, long launch, lots of emails, only product on sale. In addition to that, it's been in several of every November and every February for the last 2 years, we've been doing what I call like a mystery sale. So like you don't know what it's going to be, and it's a different product every day. And it's been one day of that several times. So that scoops up another batch of people. So we don't have that many people who haven't seen it. And if you've seen it several times, you probably just don't want it. And so I think there's just not enough new people on our list. There's not enough hype, and we haven't put out something new in a long time. We really focused for the last couple of years. I mean, we were just like new stuff, put out new stuff, do new stuff, do new stuff. I personally, as a personality, just kind of like creating something from scratch a lot better than refining what we already have. It's not as fun or exciting. So that's kind of how we went until a couple years ago when I was like, we got to stop. We got to put the brakes on and we got to refine what we have and relaunch what we have and get more out of every product that we have rather than constantly creating new things. So we shifted our focus and now we're swinging back the other way, which I think is okay and normal. All right, we've done enough refining. Now we need new products. There's just more pent-up demand when you get offered those new products, because there's those people on your list that like kind of love you and buy everything that you have or most of what you have to offer, but I haven't offered them something in a while to buy. So that's my theory. Now, I also want to cover a couple of other things that it's not. So our open rates are still very good. We tend to have 55 to 60-ish% open rates on all of our emails, and this sale is no exception, right around the 55% mark. So I don't think it's that people aren't opening our emails. They weren't unsubscribing at a huge rate, so I don't think I bothered them or anything like that. That's not it. I don't think it was the conversion of the page, because like I said, it had a 5.37% conversion rate on the page, and that's for every click. That's not even for every user. If it was users, that conversion rate would go up, so that's solid. So those are some things that I don't think that it was. But let me dive into some more of these statistics that I gathered that I think are super duper helpful. So I'm going to start with the one that is the most interesting. And I've done some fancy stuff in ConvertKit to make this happen, by the way. If you're like, where are you getting these stats? It's a bunch of custom fields and complicated automations in ConvertKit. I was going to say, if you want me to do an episode on it, I think I probably could, although more likely a video in the posse would be most helpful because you kind of do need to see it. But again, if anyone's interested in that, definitely email me. All right. So I actually know when people joined my list. Of the 300 purchases, 59% have joined my list since last August. So not even a year ago, probably the last 9 months. That's a huge percentage. And that, again, supports that the newer people on the list are buying it much better. Then when we get below that, before last August, now that doesn't mean 60% of the people who joined since last August bought, not at all, but more of our buyers are very recent joiners. Before last August, 21%, I don't know. I wasn't tracking this sophisticatedly, so they were on the list, but I'm not really sure exactly when they joined the list. Only about 4% joined January through July of last year, about 5% joined in 2022, about 3% in 21, 7% in 20, and a third of a percent in 2019. And then again, there's the 21% that we don't know, but definitely before last August. Now, that's not an exact perfect stat, because if you flip it around and you say, of everyone who joined the list since last August, what percentage bought? I don't know. I would have ways of figuring it out, but it was just more work than I wanted to put in, because it would be a lot of exporting a bunch of data and manipulating it in the spreadsheet. So I didn't really dive into that. But we got some more interesting stuff. One of the things that is really, really important to me is when somebody buys, where do they first get on the list from? Because if I find that, like, when I speak in somebody else's summit and I get, and this has happened, and I get like 1,000 people on the list, they buy at a way higher rate than everyone else, then you better believe I'm going to go do that summit again. And if I find that I'm spending a bunch of money on ads and trying to get people on the list and just barely breaking even or losing a little bit of money, and those people aren't buying, then those aren't the people I want. So this is a really important statistic. And so I also store where everyone comes from. Now, before August of last year, there's a percentage of people that I don't know where they came from. I didn't have the stats. I don't 100% know. But here's the deal. If they came from our list in last year's summit, that's GoHQV 2023, if they were new to our list, that's that, you know, they joined our list from that. To make a long story short, there was about 45,000 people who were eligible to buy this, like who got sent these emails. And by eligible, I mean they weren't cold, because we're not sending the emails if they've gone cold, if they're not opening. And we have an evergreen sequence that we've sent about 6,000 of them through, so they're not getting our regular emails. So we got these 45,000 that did, 0.25%, so a quarter of a percent of those bought. That is a higher buy rate than most of our other categories. So it was showing me that, yeah, those more recent people, they weren't buying at a hugely higher rate. Like, I was hoping that number would be higher, and that would support even more of my theory of the people buying are new. Because the people who join my list from GetOrganized HQ Virtual 2023. They've only seen this in one day of a sale, like in one day of one of those mystery sales. And I think that's about the only place they've seen this. So I was hoping that number would be higher, but it's still a little higher than the rest of the list. And the overall buy rate, I think we talked about, was 0.2. So they're a little bit higher. Of the people that were already on my list in August of last year, and I don't know for sure where they came from, they bought at a rate of 0.15%. Of the people who joined the list in GetOrganizedHQ Virtual 2022, they had a 0.14% buy rate. The people who came in 2021 at the summit, 0.18%. And the people who came in the 2022 summit at 0.17%. So that is what it is. Now, this is interesting. There was a lot of people who this may have been their first purchase. Let's just put it that way. I have an opt-in of Steps to Organize Any Space. That's an older opt-in, but there were 2,500 people eligible to buy, and they bought it at a 0.32%. So a little higher. So maybe, but that number is so low relative to the rest that I don't know that that percentage would hold true. If they came last year, we sold a lot of the Homebinder on ads. And this one's kind of disappointing to me. Of those people, there were 2,600 who are still getting the emails eligible to buy, and they bought at only a rate of 0.15%. So a little bit lower than the overall rate. So those people buying the binder on ads, and this is held true in several sales, are not buying at quite as high as a rate of everyone else. So that is something. Now, they're still buying, but we really only sold four. So they're still buying, but not at a great rate. That's about it. There's a few others, but they're so low, they're not even worth mentioning. All right, now let's look at the first product that people purchased. And this gets even more interesting. So there's a group before August of last year, 2023. I don't know. I wasn't tracking. And if their first product they bought wasn't, I was going to say if it wasn't a summit, but that's not really true. I just don't know. So that attributed to, like, that's about half of our sales came, like, we don't know who bought this. We don't know the first product they bought. But those people bought at a rate of 0.16%. So if they were already on my list for a while and I did know the first product they bought, they bought at a rate of 0.16%. Now, 47 people, it appears, and that accounts for about 16% of our total sales, it appears that this may have been their first purchase with me. So that's very interesting. And every time I have a sale, I see that this is, some people, it's their first purchase. And I never know why, but I find that really interesting. And I just think it goes to show you that when you have a broad product that hit a broad area of pain points and people are at different places in their life, you're always going to have people who need that thing. Of the people who bought the All Access Pass, and that was the last year for the summit, and that was their first purchase, they bought at a rate of almost 1%. That was one of our best groups. That's significant. There was about 6,600 of them eligible to buy. So they bought at a pretty good rate. So that means they're recent and we know they're buyers because they did buy something before. This wasn't their first purchase. So that's telling. Beyond that, there's not as much that's interesting. Some of these groups are just so small that I wouldn't take stats from them. Like if they joined as an insider, that was only 169 of them. If they came from ads and they bought the All Access Pass for last year's summit, that was 956 people who were eligible to buy. They bought at a rate of 0.52%, so definitely higher than the binder ads. So that's telling me something. I think that's telling me that the people who join for the summit might be better than people who buy the binder, which is what I already thought. I think the binder is such a specialized product and catches attention of people who really just want the binder and don't care about that much else. And again, we see that people who bought the Homebinder off ads first bought at a rate of 0.14%. And really, that's about it that we can tell from that data. So I hope this was helpful to kind of walk through my data with you and kind of glean what we could and kind of show you the process that I go through to try to answer questions. It's not perfect. Like the data itself isn't even perfect. Like I said, I'm annoyed. I wish I'd started this in the beginning so I didn't have all that data before August of last year that we don't have. But you got to start where you are. Even then, it's imperfect because people are using multiple email addresses and all these different, confounding variables. ConvertKit actually doesn't even report the numbers accurately. Don't ask me why. They've always been off from the day one. But again, it's better than nothing and doesn't answer every question, but it can help point us to some things that are helpful and help us decide what it is that we can do. So what is my plan going forward? Well, my plan going forward is to give people more new things they can buy. And so we have coming up next month, at the very beginning of the month, we have a, I'm calling it a brand new product. It's a little bit of a revamped product, but it's not one that's ever had its own sales pages that we've ever pushed. It's been sitting there in the shop and it's like really, really completely brand new. I mean, we revamped that entire thing. So that's coming at the beginning of next month. I'm really excited about that. We've worked really hard on it. It has some awesome pictures. I think it'll be exciting, fun. It'll only be $19. So when it's on sale, so that means very accessible to a lot of my audience. Then we're going to do one tiny, tiny flash sale, I think in maybe right at the end of April, just a 2-day flash sale for our membership. That's the one that we shrunk. We had planned to do more and we shrunk that one because we just wanted to give people more breathing room and more of a runway. And then toward the end of May, we have another big signature product coming. One of these, it's like, I think it's going to retail at about $249, and we'll sell it for $97. I don't think there will be tiers. Like, you got to pay $97 if you want this. So that is probably the next product that we will put out. It's a lot of work. That one is a beast of a product. Like, it's not simple to create and to, you know, we got to create the sales page. We got to create everything. But we have a lot of hope in this one. It's something new and different that we've not done before. I don't think it's something that people have seen all over the place. And so we're really excited about that one. And I just think all this confirms that we're on the right track. And also, I'm not panicking. This launch was bad. I will not panic until we have a new product launch that goes just significantly underperforms. And then it will be time to, I guess, panic, for lack of a better word. But even then, panicking is not going to be useful. But that is when I would start to be more concerned and think, something really might be going on. And, you know, it might be time to talk about, do we need to be cutting expenses and things like that? But I do not think now is the time. One bad launch is not the time, especially when we do have a savings to talk about that. But again, if the next launch just severely underperforms, then we'll have to start having some of those conversations, but it's not now. And so we're just really, really focused my energies on making those two launches the best they can possibly be. And I've already been working, you know, we've all been doing that and we're going to keep doing that. And that's the best thing that I can do right now. I hope you enjoyed this episode of Get Profitable HQ. If you did, don't forget to subscribe, share it with your business besties, and leave us a 5-star review on your favorite podcast app. And if you love this and can't wait to get more, I have an entire bank of resources and more behind the scenes info at getprofitablehq.com. Go ahead and head there.